Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS-FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
So happy June to my listeners. Summer is right around the corner, and that means summer vacation road trips for many Canadian families. Now, I don't remember a family summer road trip where we didn't pass at least one vehicle pulled over to the side of the highway with car troubles. So in doing my research for this show, I found that the number one car trouble experienced by Canadian drivers in the summer was the check engine light coming on during a long road trip. So ironically, we should have checked our vehicle out thoroughly before heading out on our adventure. So this episode of Tune Up with Deb is your check engine light. My guest today is Bruce Williams. Bruce is the owner of River's Edge Services, an auto repair shop here in Prince George. Thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come and share some wisdom and insights with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much, Deb.
So before we get into the topic of vehicle maintenance, and particularly preparation for summertime vehicle maintenance, I'm curious about what drew you to a career in auto repair. Can you tell us about your journey that brought you to this specialty, please?
It all started when I was a young kid. I worked on my bicycles, I worked on my motorcycles, and just natural progression. Always loved cars, washed my aunts and uncles' cars all the time. My uncle was good into building old cars, and that really got me hooked, and I just had a natural knack for repairing vehicles.
But it obviously wasn't just a knack. It must be a passion for you to not only have been an auto mechanic, and you still are an auto mechanic, but then to own your own service shop. Obviously, this is a passion for you.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
So I've invited you to talk about summertime automobile preparation, particularly in light of the number of families across Canada who head out for their adventures in their vehicles. So for my research for this program, I found that there are six main summer vehicle breakdowns. And these are, number one, as I mentioned in the intro, the check engine light coming on. Number two is experiencing a flat tire. Number three, overheating. Number four, a dead battery. Number five, low oil pressure. And number six, the awful one, the AC failure. So are these individual troubles preventable by proper vehicle maintenance?
For the most part, yes, Deb, they are. It comes down to regular maintenance. Annual, semi-annual, every quarter, having an oil service and a good inspection and check over your vehicle will prevent most of these from happening, absolutely.
Now, the last interview we did was last fall, and you and I, we sort of did a financial calculation about automobile maintenance. You recall that show that we did?
Absolutely.
So I think we broke it down. It was about approximately $1,200 a year in proper auto maintenance, so that would be broken down into just $100 a month, but that saved thousands of dollars in vehicle repairs.
Absolutely.
As opposed to maintenance. Now, repairs, of course, that's a different category, but just putting that time and money into the maintenance prevented huge, huge bills.
Absolutely. Just the maintenance costs alone in a tune-up can save you in fuel mileage over a year to 2 years, for sure, just in mileage gain alone.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So we're very sensitive to our fuel costs right now.
Yes, it is a hot topic for sure.
And especially when we're thinking of doing a summer road trip, we're always calculating the fuel cost in that. And in each year, it's getting higher and higher.
Yes, it is for sure.
So let's talk about the first thing on the six top summer vehicle breakdown issues. What are some common reasons why the check engine light might come on?
The most common things we see in the shop right now are emissions-related codes that come up, whether it's your gas cap is leaking in the EVAP system or the venting of the fuel tank is not working correctly, and that's a federal regulated code that has to come up. That's one of the most common, and second most common is misfire codes because the vehicle's not running correctly, usually due to lack of regular maintenance and tune-ups, absolutely. The industry the big dealerships or the big manufacturers will tell you you can go to the moon and back, say, with a Volkswagen, or go 120,000 kilometers with your new GMC or Ford or whatever the case may be. And yeah, you can maybe get there on the mileage, but it doesn't mean your vehicle's running the most optimum or the most efficient for sure.
So the check engine light is not something that a family is going to be able to necessarily deal with on the side of the road.
Absolutely not. You need a computer scanner piece of equipment that we have to buy multiple ones now in our shop, and nobody carries them with them, and they're $10,000. So having that regular maintenance done and make sure one of these lights or codes does not come up while you're on holidays is money well spent.
So now you mentioned the emissions and the fuel venting.
Yes.
Okay. So now if the check engine light comes on, is that the only indication that there's a problem, or like we're talking about doing the pre-trip maintenance? So would you find those things, those problems in the shop ahead of that light actually coming on someone's vehicle?
No, we wouldn't. Usually the computer's programmed, it'll turn the light on if it sees a problem, but when we're just doing a routine maintenance, we won't see a problem. But with routine maintenance and fresh air filters and fresh tune-ups, it does eliminate most of these random problems that come up.
Perfect.
We can't stop parts from failing. Parts fail all the time, and a check engine light could come on for literally thousands of different reasons.
That's a scary thing.
It is.
Oh, boy. So I grew up down south, and my dad had his tires rotated religiously.
Yes.
And since we change our tires seasonally because of our northern driving conditions, do we still need to rotate our tires?
Depending on the mileage you drive in a year, a good rule of thumb is every 10,000 kilometers, especially in our area. We have a lot of diesel pickups that are heavy. And the heavy engine in the front really wears out tires just by driving around in the city more than anything. So rotating them every $10,000 or 10,000 kilometers is going to give you the most tire wear possible.
Okay. Now what is the point where we actually need to go ahead and replace those tires? So I'm referring back to, of course, the preventable number on the list of the six summer vehicle breakdowns, the flat tire issue. So what point do we need to replace our tires? And is there a legal limit for the tires?
All tires are manufactured with what's called a tread wear bar in between the treads. If your treads are down to match that, it is completely worn out and fails government inspection. That is also way beyond when you should really replace your tires. When we get down to between 3 and 5/32 seconds of an inch, it is recommended to replace, whether it's winter tires, because they actually don't grip very good anymore when they're that small, of tread, and summer tires, same thing, flat tires, because there's not very much tread there to help save you from a random screw or nail in the road or a sharp rock if you're pulling into a RV site, anything like that.
So the flat tire issue then is generally related to the health of our tires then?
Majority of it is, yes.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense. So let's go on to the overheating situation. We were talking before we actually started recording the show about the fire season, because the truth of the matter is that we live in a fire zone now. So carrying water for ourselves, our families, our pets, but also as a safety precaution just makes good sense now. But what is the issue with overheating? What's actually happening behind the scenes in our vehicles when they overheat?
Well, when your vehicle overheats, it's usually due to lack of coolant in the engine, so it's gone down over time. Again, regular maintenance, that's something that's always checked and always topped up. But it does evaporate slowly out of the system, or maybe there's a small leak that you don't see in your driveway. But as you're driving, it leaks out a little bit, but you never actually quite catch it. So if the engine's down on coolant, it can definitely overheat, and then you can do serious engine damage if you overheat an engine.
And does water do the trick when we're on the road? I mean, you see vehicles pulled over to the side and it's an overheating issue.
Yep, it definitely will do the trick. It's not the best to put in it because it's supposed to be a antifreeze mixture of water, but to get you safely somewhere to get it inspected and repaired, absolutely.
So how much water are we talking here that we should pack along as a precaution?
Probably a 4-liter milk jug would be sufficient, at least to get you to the next town or a pullout rest area. That should be sufficient.
That seems very doable for families to prevent prevent being pulled over or just over to the side of the road in the heat that we experience in the summers.
Yeah, absolutely. If you need more than that, you probably should just call a tow truck at that time because you've got a serious leak or a serious problem.
So I have a question about fuel. So, I mean, that's not on the top six list, but we'll just segue to this question. I've heard and I've been told that it's important to fill your gas tank back up when you hit a half tank. Is that accurate and why?
It is accurate. And the reason why all of our fuel injected vehicles now have the fuel pump in the tank. So if you run from half a tank below, there's not enough fuel to constantly cool your fuel pump and it will wear out faster. If you have the tank full, then it's cooled by all the fuel that's in there and it gives you the most life possible out of your fuel pump.
So when you use the term cool, is that part of keeping the engine cool in the summer as well?
No, that's not part of keeping the engine cool.
Okay.
Keeping the engine cool is a very important part, but that has nothing really to do with the fuel system.
So we're just mainly looking at preserving the life of the fuel pump then?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I've always wondered why people would do that. And again, that's another little quirk that my dad had, always filling the tank up before it got below half.
The other thing that's not as much of an issue nowadays is moisture, condensation. So the lower you have it, the more potential for moisture to get into your fuel. And we don't want to be burning water. We want to be burning fuel.
So I'd like to ask you a little bit of a loaded question here.
Okay.
What are the top vehicle maintenance issues that we as Canadians tend to avoid?
I was thinking about that earlier, and I've seen it lots in my shop lately, is brake servicing. Actually servicing, not just repairing and replacing, but servicing. And the style of brakes that we have now on our vehicles, we're seeing just a rash of calipers seizing up. Only because the brakes aren't worn out, but they're not serviced, and they actually seize. Then they wear out super fast and tear up a rotor, and now you have a $1,500 brake job instead of a once-a-year service that's $100.
So what do you do in a brake service?
We pull the caliper off and the brakes off. We lubricate everything that's movable and slides. All calipers move on a slide pin, so we lubricate that, and that's usually what seizes up because of lack of lubrication, and they rust solid.
So you just mentioned an even bigger savings than we were talking about before, because you said that the brake servicing is $100, but a brake full replacement, now we're talking $1,500?
Could very well be. On a one-ton truck, absolutely.
That's rotors, huge. That's
calipers,
huge money.
Huge money.
Oh, Bruce, it's so great to have you having these tips for our listeners. You can save all kinds of money.
Absolutely.